You're listening to Boss Level, a podcast on awesome people and organizations. Before we get started with the show, I have an announcement to make. I'm going to call this episode the last episode of the first season of Boss Level. After this episode, the podcast is going to be on a break for about a month and a half. The main reason for this is that my band, Embreach, started recording drums for a new album yesterday. I'm the singer and my studio days for recording the vocals are in a few weeks. I need to finish the songs and the lyrics and practice my singing and growling. And after recording, we need to mix, master, and release the album, which will also require a substantial amount of time and effort. Another reason is that I want to keep the quality of the podcast high. I want to have the time to produce the episodes properly, more in the vein of how the Bootsog episode was produced. I want to interview people live with a good technical setup, not with a laptop microphone over a crappy voice line. I want to make this podcast boss level. I have some upcoming trips that will allow me to do all this. It just needs some calendar time. The next episode of Boss Level Podcast will be released on the 14th of March. Meanwhile, you can see how the album recording is progressing by liking Embreach on Facebook or by following us on Twitter. We'll also be periscoping live from the studio. If you want to check out our previous album, it's available on Spotify. The link is in the show notes. I will probably be writing stuff on my blog, samihongren.com, so you might want to sign up for the email list to have them sent to your inbox. Links to everything I mentioned are in the show notes. Be sure to check them out. This episode is about the simple but powerful concept of Toyota Kata and how it's applied at the gaming company King. I'm interviewing Håkan Fors, an agile coach working for King in Stockholm. I've known Håkan for years and I've learned a lot from him. You might recognize him as the Lego Man, since he does many of his conference presentations with slides that are photos of arrangements that he has done with Legos. They're awesome. Enjoy the show.
So King is a game company, so we create mostly mobile games nowadays. And I guess the most famous one is Candy Crush, and its sister games, Candy Crush Soda. We also have like Farm Heroes, Bubble Witch, and a number of other titles that are very big. But we also are present on like Facebook and on web-based games.
Their games have over 330 million monthly unique users. The company was started in Stockholm, but now has offices and game studios around the globe. So how do they operate? What's the company structure like?
It's a very team-based environment. We want very autonomous teams that define themselves, how they want to work, and basically how they set up the teams. We don't mandate in any way how they should actually organize themselves. It's up to the teams. It's typically cross-functional teams, meaning that we have art, we have game design, and we have developers, testers. And usually we have supporting capacities like an agile coach. We have a producer that would be the equivalent of a product owner with some added stuff like people management, and financial responsibility and stuff like that. We also have what we call business performance, which means that collecting the numbers, the data from our players, how they play, how hard the level is and so on, is feeding back into the team. So they get as fast feedback as possible based on the performance of the games.
So what kind of analytics do you use to understand your players better?
We look at how the players play the game, how much they convert in terms of going from a not paying in the game. All our games you can play without pay. You can, and it's also designed so you can actually play all the levels without needing to pay. Our business model is, of course, that they want to pay to advance or make it more fun or whatever they feel is the worth of paying in the game. We also look at how long they stay on as a player for a certain game and so on, and try to, as indicator, if they find the games fun to play.
So you're kind of balancing between like making sure that everyone has fun, but still that they like at some point convert to a paying customer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And that's actually, that's one of the things that's always been really interesting to me about games. Cause like, if we talk about like enterprise software or a software product that you're building for someone, it's like, it kind of feels that it's easier to say when a feature or something that you ship out, if it like fulfills the need or not. But with the games, because it's like you're trying to build something that's fun, and yeah, fun is really subjective.
It is.
Yeah. So how do you guys deal with that? That it's really hard to say, like, what's fun?
If we could tap into people's brains, that would be good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's not possible yet. You need to look at indicators that would indicate if people find it fun. And one way is to see if they come back.
If you're starting to develop a new game, for example, then you won't be able to do that. You should, like, in the very beginning, you need to test it by yourself somehow.
Typical kind of development process for a totally new game is that we build prototypes that we try to test as early as possible. Mm-hmm. Of course, initially with our internal people, with your teammates or like your neighboring team will kind of look at what you've done and give you feedback and so on. And then as early as possible, we try to get real players to actually try it out, and you do user testing. And then as the product matures, we roll it out to more and more people and try to get more quantitative feedback in numbers. But it is not a super short lead time from kind of game idea until it's actually on the market.
One of the methods that Håkan is using at King to shorten the feedback loops and help the company learn faster is Toyota Kata.
So Toyota Kata is a method to speed up your learning as an organization, and also helping you as a leader to focus your attention on becoming a learning organization. So that's the kind of the fluffy stuff around it. And then the kata part of it, coming from martial arts, is that you define a set pattern of movements, or in this case, a routine of how to go through a continuous improvement, continuous learning cycle. And you repeat it very often, so it becomes like a organizational muscle memory, how you do continuous improvement.
Okay, and so the kata comes from martial arts. How is it linked to Toyota?
Mike Rother, who wrote the book Toyota Kata, was studying companies like Toyota and other lean companies and looked at what were they actually doing, what the actual practice that they were doing in terms of continuous improvement. And after a while, he kind of saw that there were some common patterns of how they were actually doing the continuous improvement part. And then he codified it, meaning that he wrote down his interpretation of what they did in a way that was one consistent pattern. Because, of course, it's slightly different everywhere, but the main kind of core pattern is very similar.
The Toyota Kata consists of two parts, the improvement kata and the coaching kata.
And depending on what focus you want to take, you can say either one or the other is more important, but they are actually in symbiosis. But let's start with the improvement kata, which is maybe the easiest one to kind of explain.
The improvement kata consists of four parts: ideal condition, current condition, target condition, and experimentation.
The improvement kata is really about looking at where do you want to move. You have some kind of hypothesis around if we behave in a certain way, how we work in a certain way, we will get a certain result. And we kind of take that hypothesis and kind of aim into the future. What would that look like in a perfect kind of state to get a vision or a direction where you want to move? And then after that, you take a good look at where you are right now. You constantly start to look at how things are working right now. And that would be kind of defining what is called the current condition. How is your organization behaving? What's the way of working and so on?
Since you're not going to get to the ideal state right away, you set a target condition in between the ideal and the current state.
And you set what is, in Teotihuacan terms, is set called a target condition, which was kind of describe how the organization will behave, either just a team or a department or the whole company. How would it look like in 1 to 3 months? When you have that, you start to iterate in experimentation, try to remove one obstacle at a time, trying to get to the target condition.
So how would you do organizational development with Toyota Kata?
Let's say you want all the managers to meet the team every day, which I think is something to strive for. Yeah. Maybe it's not necessarily a vision, but it's definitely a challenge. What's your current condition? Well, maybe only a fraction of your leaders in the organization actually meet with a team every day. And then you can say, oh, what's actually standing in the way of achieving that? Well, the top managers, maybe they have so many meetings, so it's unfeasible for them to go to meet the team every day. So then how could we make a change in the organization so they will actually don't need to go to so many meetings? And so on. So it's definitely something that you can work on an organizational level as well.
Okay, so that was the improvement part of Toyota Kata. And then there was the coaching part.
Yes.
So what's that about?
And the coaching part is mainly part of the experimentation cycle, but it kind of also ties into defining the direction of the vision and setting the next target condition. But it's mainly focus on learning more than just doing improvements, which means that you're trying to help them go through a scientific learning cycle, meaning that when you do an experiment, that you phrase it as an experiment or as a hypothesis. You try to define why or do we think that this will actually help us move forward. You also define what you think will happen when you run the experiment. That's the prediction part of defining an experiment. And then when the experiment has run, that you coach your team to do actual observations. And then based on the delta between their expectations and their actual observations, what did they learn in terms of what's the difference between the what you thought it would be and what actually happened?
So how is Toyota Kata applied at King?
So there's a number of teams that try it in different ways and different intensities. What I try to do is to always kind of incorporate this either formally, explicitly as Kata's, or implicitly using the kind of the thinking model in every kind of coaching situation I try to do.
So you live by this?
Sometimes it might be observable that I do, and in many other cases it might not be. Because what I found, especially in an organization like King, where kind of process thinking and process... looking at process is something that is...
It's evil.
Yes. Many people think it's kind of evil.
Yeah.
What I try to rephrase it is every process, everything you do is a process. Either it's ad hoc, meaning that you do it differently every time, or there's some kind of pattern that you use.
Implicit pattern of doing it. Yeah.
And so this is process. Yeah. So everyone has a process. I have a process getting to work. It might have variation, or it might not. In my case, it's always variation, but getting to work.
Yes.
But if you think about it in that way, it's not like a rational, unified process, a number of steps that you always should do. You can't be flexible in any way. So that is kind of mostly the perception. So we don't really talk about process here. Therefore, you need to be kind of implicit about what you do when you talk to the organization.
So you're kind of doing like ninja coaching that no one notices that you're actually doing it.
They probably notice it because I typically ask questions like, so what's your hypothesis of making this change?
Yeah.
If we try to do this, what is the problem we're actually trying to solve. But I also tried it a number of times where when the team buys into it, using it formally as it's described, and when they buy into it, it can actually generate tremendous positive results.
If someone wants to read more about this or look into this, do you have any recommendations on books or things to read? Or
So one of the obvious books would be the Toyota Kara book by Mike Rother. And you can also go to his website, and there's a free to download workbook, which is quite good, I think. The potential problem for us in software industry would be that all the examples in the book and most of the examples in the workbooks would be from manufacturing, which means that you need to take a step back and kind of look at the meta process that's in place and not look at necessarily all the details from manufacturing.
Okay, I'm happy that this is the first time that meta process came up in the podcast.
So this is it, the end of season one. While waiting for season two, you can listen to all the episodes of season one again. I'm willing to bet you'll pick up new ideas the second time around. I still keep listening to the one with Dave Snowden and learning new stuff from it. Another thing to keep you busy while waiting for the next episode is the Blue Arrow Awards. They started accepting competition entries today. The Blue Arrow Awards select the best services, teams, and people in the digital industry. I like the award categories they have, such as Societal Influence Award, Robust Code Award, and Propeller Head Award. Check it out at BlueArrowAwards.com. Keep recommending the podcast to everyone, and I really appreciate it if you give the podcast a good review on iTunes. That will help the second season reach an even bigger audience. Thanks for all your support, feedback, and comments. They are highly appreciated. Keep them coming. The second season of Boss Level is going to be legendary. You'll just have to wait for it.